Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Thanksgiving is a spiritual context. Thanksgiving is a spiritual context. And we need to demonstrate our thanksgiving to the next generation. Everything that we're preaching through Nehemiah, we came through the book of Matthew, through Proverbs, it's for us to reshape our society and our culture, but it all begins in the house of the Lord. It begins with God's people. It begins with Christians worldwide. We reshape culture. Culture cannot reshape us. Last week, I had Pastor Rob preach on Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving, it's not a one-day event. The reason the word reshape culture is so prevalent in my spirit, I'm adamant at pushing through for the church to realize we've allowed culture to reshape Christianity. Thanksgiving is not a one-day event, but we've made it just everything for society is an event. It's the turkey dinner, it's the travel, it's the having all the trimmings and the trappings and the stuffings. But folks, that's not what Thanksgiving ever was about, and that's not what it should continue to be about. And we need to develop the spiritual context and demonstrate to the generations behind us what is true Thanksgiving. So today, at the end of this message, I'm going to explain the table of plenty. And last week, as Pastor Rob preached a powerful message on Thanksgiving, I want to step right into it now to say this. Our fruitfulness comes with our thankfulness. The fruitfulness of our life comes out of our thankfulness because of what Christ has done for us. There's three phases I'll do. What Christ has done for us. What Christ continues to do for us. And what Christ would like us to do as children of God. Three phases in this message today. And I begin with what Christ has done for us. We give thanks for God's provision. And the greatest provision made for us is Christ's atonement on the cross. Atonement is a power word. And PPCers, those who have bought into where we're going collectively as a church, you've been studying this in the very first chapter of our fall study, A Biblical Worldview from A to Z from Tim Delana. We didn't choose that because we're looking for a book. I chose that because we're looking to grow and become disciples of Christ, understanding the fundamentals of our faith so that we're not tripped up by the enemy in this day of compromise and chaos. So the first step is this, the word atonement. It is helping people here to grow, and we all need to come into an understanding of it. While many people fear it, it is the basic of the foundation and fundamental of our faith. This word atonement simply means to cover over, to remove from sight. Let me ask you, if someone removes something ugly from your sight, if you're living somewhere and someone removes it, you're thankful in your heart. I'm actually I'm praying for a mighty, you know those windstorms we've had in the past? Okay, some of you, if you don't have things that are harnessed, harness it, because I remember a windstorm that came last year that blew down the tree over my shed. I'm asking God for one more of those windstorms in the next week. Yes, I'm asking God for a windstorm because there are some ugly Halloween things that have started already at Thanksgiving, and I want to see them blow. I don't even want them to find the pieces when that wind comes. Anybody join me in prayer on that count? So when things are removed from our sight, it makes us happy. If someone saved you, covered you in your job for something, covered over an error, you're thankful. If someone in your family covered over something that would have caused bondage or distress, you are thankful. We're extremely grateful. So let me ask you, what are you grateful to Lord Jesus Christ for? Because he has covered over a greater thing. He's covered over our sins. And see, atonement was necessary for the sinfulness of humanity because it removed or covered over from the sight of a holy God the ugliness of the sins and the realization of what's being committed by God's creation. He covered over the ugliness of our sin, just like that ugly, hideous, tall, black statue they have at the corner of my street. Blow it away, Jesus. Don't worry, there'll be oil all over that street there because I'm going to put some oil late one night. The offense, we broke the law. And we do not have what it takes to make the payment that is required. That is the offense. But the blessing is that Christ paid our sin debt. Do you know you had a sin debt? You know, is there anyone here with any debt of a Visa debt, a credit debt? Anyone got a mortgage debt? But we all had a sin debt that only Christ's atonement could pay for. And the payment was his shed blood, which makes forgiveness possible over and over again. Because the problem of sin is that no monetary currency, no currency was large enough to cover over all of our sins. Folks, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are. There is no currency, no billionaire, no zillionaire that can pay to cover over their sins. And the expectation is that we will begin to live with a right thinking, acknowledging that there is a holy God that has preserved us and covered us, sheltered us, protected us. And when we have relationship with him and acknowledge that he is the God of our life, that's when we begin to move into truth. And so the expectation when we move into truth, which Proverb kept telling us how to move into wisdom, and wisdom moves us into truth. When we begin to move into truth because of the wisdom of God in our lives, we will give God all the glory for everything in our lives. Not some of the glory, what? All. So the result is this, a new way of life. It is imperative that every Christian fully understand what Christ's atonement means, because it is the most life-giving factor that will keep every believer from continuously sinning over and over again. When our acceptance of Christ's atonement is embedded in our spirit, we desire to live good and godly lives. And when we're living good and godly lives, we're living thankful lives. Let me say that again. I got a soft amen. When we are living good and godly lives, it's very easy then to be living thankful lives. We don't look at the world and want everything, the cravings of it. We look at God and we thank him for all of our blessings. So give God thanks. Give thanks to God for his miracles, his healing, his provision, his deliverance, his salvation, and his daily multiple blessings. Give God thanks for his healing. Do you notice? I'm always telling, if I'm sick, I'm going to tell you I'm sick. You know why? I want you to hear the story of his healing. If I'm sick, I'm going to tell you I'm sick because I want you to hear. I don't have secret sick. I don't have time for secret sick. It does no blessing to nobody. I want you to know how sick I was when I'm sick, because guess what? I'm constantly believing in the miracle working power of God, and I'm going to rise up and get up and go again. I thank God for his healing. In fact, I shared on Tuesday night, I was very sick in Peru, by the way. I had altitude sickness. It was terrible. God, I never thought I could be so sick. I drove 8 hours down a mountain in Peru with my head between my knees with a plastic bag, and a bunch of us were sick. But you know what? If you do not confess what God has done, The next time you stay silent and you stay in your sickness. Hey, I know my God is a healer. I know my God is a provider. It is our acceptance of what Christ has done that reorients our busy minds to pause and to consistently give thanks to God. So here's my passage this morning, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. The man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." 10 people were healed physically, but only one came back with thanksgiving. And after that one returned with thanksgiving, guess what, folks? He then received a greater miracle. He received his spiritual healing. And friends, I want to tell you today, a material miracle will only take you so far. Always note that your spiritual healing will take you further than your physical healing can ever carry you. Your spiritual miracle will take you further than your physical healing. Miracle can take you. It was Jesus that healed all 10. It was a miracle. But because of their thanklessness, they were not carried any further. And many people are so quick to run off with their first blessing from God, and they fail to obtain the greater blessing which will last them a lifetime, the blessing which will continuously grow again and again and again. When you begin to walk in the miracle and walk in thanksgiving for your miracle, you watch miracle after miracle after miracle. Is there anyone that knows what I'm talking about? So many people never go back and thank God for what he has done and what he continues to do for us. That's why we sang that song over and over. Thank you for your goodness. You see, many at the sign of the first miracle, they grab it and run, and they return shortly after. They will return to their own old lifestyle, old way of life. You see, the old lifestyle is a mindset of impoverishment. It's a mindset of greed. It's a mindset of arrogance. It's a mindset of self-servingness and selfishness. Those are the sins of the flesh, and there are many other ways. The old lifestyle will take you captive. And when you run off with one miracle and not come back and give God thanks, that miracle is going to be short-lived. That could have been a good amen. Pastor Rob touched on that passage last week. Thanksgiving is not a one-day affair. Church worldwide, church online, church in-house, let me speak this in the powerful rebuke. Stop making Thanksgiving the entity, the A-all and be-all of your year. Thanksgiving is a daily lifestyle. Right now, we'll feed people all over, but won't they be hungry 2 weeks from now? But oh, we feel good when we could do it in a one shot. This is not the church of Jesus Christ. We give God thanks and we give unto others at all times. Our fruitfulness comes with our thankfulness because of what Christ has done for us and what Christ continues to do. And sometimes it's important to go back through the pages of your life and reflect on what God has done for you over these years consistently. Do you know what the problem of Christianity is? Oh, God has picked us all up out of something, and then once we got pious, we forgot and we thought we were born this way. Time to reflect on the times that Christ has delivered you out of trouble, provided for you in the midnight hour, healed you when no other answer existed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Forgave your failures when it was unforgivable. Saved you out of your despair, and so much more. You could add your own word here. See, when God has saved us from ourselves, we're grateful for the moment. But like the 9 lepers, we don't go back and continue to give thanks. So guess what happens? We curtail our blessings. We steal from ourselves what is more imperative because we grab and run with only the beginning of God's miracles and mercies, and we never get to see the rest. Hey, tell somebody, don't grab and run. Tell somebody. See, your truthful heart of thanksgiving will be reflected in your remembering to be thankful to God consistently. When you're consistent in your thankfulness, you become fruitful and grow. You grow yourself, you grow miracles, you grow in faithfulness, you grow in thankfulness. And so many Christians are desperate for a change in their status, but they're ungrateful and unthankful when the status change comes, and they don't remember that God is the one that brought them there. Ah, come on, talk to me, somebody. Many have forgotten it was God that got them that status change. Here's the story, Luke 17. One of them, when he saw that he was no longer a leper, he went back and shouted, "Praise God!" And he fell on his ground, that's humility, thanking him for what he had done. He was a Samaritan. He was not of the Jewish race. He was an outsider. And many times it's those who are outside of the walls of faith that are more thankful to God for his miracle than those of us who are seeing it consistently. Jesus said, "Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? No one And he asked the question, no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He says, stand up. Your faith has healed you. Can I ask you a question? Didn't Jesus just heal his body? So now his faith has healed him. What is healed? His spirit and soul. Oh, let me tell you something. The 10 were healed in body, but they were still in bondage of the mind and the heart. And that's what's going wrong with a lot of people today. They're getting some types of blessing, but they're still in bondage to their culture. Let me ask you folks, they were lepers. 10 lepers lived in leprosy. Their leprosy went away instantaneously, a miracle from God. But did the people in their society embrace them all at once? Did the people in their society see the status change? The people in the society would still be ostracizing them, afraid of them. Remember leprosy, you couldn't come close to people, and they'll be going, "I'm healed." And they'd be like, "That's good, just don't come around my children." The stigma of society would have still been upon them. But this one that came back, when God gave him a spiritual touch, he would have been able to glow in the presence of God. People would be attracted. People are attracted to your spirit, not your clothes. So if you want to live out your blessings of God consistently and see much more, then return thanks to God. Growing thanks grows miracles. Growing thanks grows miracles. Growing thanks. Our fruitfulness comes with our thankfulness because of what Christ will do. And so when we give thanks to God, we create future miracles. When you're thankful for the initial miracle in your life, you will stay before the Lord until he gives you rest and a touch. And the question then comes, and Jesus asked this in another story, and I'll just use this story quickly. This was a story in Mark 8. They arrived in Bethesda. It's another story of God's miracle. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus. They begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus touched the blind man by hand and led him out of the village. Then, so this is a longer story. So first he touched him and he led him out. This is where Jesus had asked the man in another synoptic gospel, "Can you see?" And he said, "No, I can't see fully." Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him, asked, "Can you see anything now?" Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes again. Did you see the again? Does everybody see it? Did it say again? So how do you do again? Isn't that you did it the first time? Right? You don't just do again without a first time, right? So Jesus initially touched him, let him out. He's still not seeing. Jesus touched him again and said, "Can you see anything now?" Then Jesus placed his hands again. His eyes were open. His sight was completely. Do you see that underline there? I should underline it. Completely restored. And he could see everything clearly. Folks, when you can't see everything clearly, it means that you stop trusting God for the miracle. First miracle, and God, I got the house, but now I can't. You know what? If you keep thanking God, you're going to be able to see things clearly. I got to ask you, when you begin to see clearly, you will give thanks to God emphatically. When you begin to, he asks, can you see clearly? Folks, we're going to have to see clearly so that we will learn to thank God, not just in sparseness, but give God always the thanks. We have become like the culture of our secular culture, the culture of our times, where we have these thank moments and then it's over. This is a church of thankfulness. We thank God for all our blessings. You are going to be a people of continuous thanks. We see so much mental health going on, but can I tell you, it's going to take us spiritual change for us to see that transform. How are we going to change? When we begin to love God, serve God, thank God, live in the moment of what God is doing. There'll be a generation who won't fall apart every time something happens, but they'll trust that God will be able to take them through. So give God thanks for his promises. His promises that he'll protect us. Deuteronomy 31, he goes before us. He will be with us. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Thank him for his deliverance. Joshua 1, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, Old Testament, so I was with Jesus, New Testament, so I'll be with you. Holy Spirit said it. God did it, and we now can live in it. Thank God for his unlimited provision. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I what? Why? Because he's going to give me all that I need. There'll be times I have to wait for it. There are times I have to keep praying for it. There are times I have to keep thanking for it. Someone recently said to me, after expending everything on self, said, I feel God has turned his back on me. That has stuck in my spirit, because the problem is not that God ever turned his back on anyone. So we turn our backs on God. The minute we get enough, we run with the enough. And then when the enough starts to crumble, I'll show you at the table. When it starts to crumble, we begin to blame God. Could you fix that mindset today? Because when the mind is healed, like the 10th leper, you begin to receive God's rewards. So would you ask God, heal the mind? Heal the mind. Lord, heal the mind, because that's the mind is the problem. Would you just close your eyes right now and say, God, I'm asking for my second miracle. Would you heal my mind? Ask him, please, Lord, heal my mind. Not just my spirit, heal my mind. Heal my soul. Because when we begin to live with the concept that God owes us something, we forget that he already paid our debt. We owe him something. Would you just pray that this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those online that they would just bow their hearts right now and go back through the pages. One leper went back. 9 ran off with the initial blessing, the initial miracle, and they would be living with a stigma that could have been removed by the miracle of God. Father, help us all to look through our lives and see what stigmas we're living with, because we have not come back and thanked you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the completeness of your miracle. Thank you, Lord, that even though you heal us once, you continue to heal us again and again. And so, God, today we surrender to you. I pray, oh God, for the one who has not yet given their hearts to you. A Samaritan came and bowed before the Lord. That was surrender. I pray, God, that one today would surrender. Stop trying to do it on their own, because they can't make it. They can't do it. It takes the power of God to transform a life. And so, God, let there be transformation in hearts today. And let there be salvation in souls. And let there be repentance from those of us who've been saved, and an acceptance of the mighty working power of God that is continuous. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Would you reach for your communion emblems this morning and allow me to just share communion with you? The Bible tells us what Christ did for us. I want to remind us today, our priority in thanksgiving is to share communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "This do in remembrance of me." So as we drink the cup and eat the bread, we reflect on Christ's sacrifice. But folks, we must mentally prepare, which is look forward in anticipation to his return. The context of communion is that it's so tremendously important to us. It's such a sacred event, it should have our full attention. And sometimes we rush into the worship service and we're not paused in spirit, quieted in heart, or seriously introspecting as we worship the Lord. And that's one of the reasons the Lord had his disciples sit down. He needed them to pause, to sit, to think, to reflect, and to worship. And so he sat with them and he had them wait as they prepared the communion one with another. See, communion is a high privilege of our Christian obedience to God. It demonstrates the honor that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why the disciples observe communion daily. They were accustomed to sharing communion daily. They observe what Jesus demonstrated to them by doing it daily. I just need you to know, in Christianity, we're the ones who moved it from every service and now make it once in a month, most churches. You know why? Well, because many of you would take it tritely. Many of you would take it lightly. Many of you would be frustrated. I'll come in again. That is really the reason why we've segued, because we allow again a secularized culture of do something new, to take over a dominance in the church from the importance of observing the Lord's table daily. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, here's what happened when the disciples met after Jesus. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They didn't come to church one day. Sunday, 1 hour, hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes. Not saying anything. Acts 2, they worshiped together at the temple each day. And they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. And they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. You're going to ask me, why are we not meeting in homes for the Lord's Supper? Again, spiritual abuse. Because then there'll be people who start again doing it rightly. Remember in Corinthians, then they started having lavish meals. Then it was about them. That's why we had to bring it in to a proper context so that we observe the table with a sacredness, not with a triteness. When Jesus shared communion to his disciples, he demonstrated that they could no longer just focus on the flesh. They must step into the spirit because Christ was going to become a spirit as the spirit of the Lord would rest upon us now through the power of the Holy Spirit. But he enjoyed having fellowship with us. And he taught them the bread and the wine would become the means by which we celebrate his soon return. To stimulate real consciousness, strong memories of his sacrifice. And so communion with Christ is part of our thanksgiving. It is part of our thanksgiving that, A, Christ came and died, atonement. It's part of our thanksgiving that Christ ascended to heaven, redemption. It's part of our thanksgiving that Christ is coming again, that the great return of the Lord to redeem mankind to himself. And so as we purposely share in communion, it's not a trite act. If you're not a believer, Bible says don't. If you've not accepted the Lord as your Savior, don't take it. If you're backslidden, don't take it. He says, because it can incur death on you because you're professing to something that you have not confessed in rightfulness, in right thinking, in right behaving, in right believing. So this morning, would you reach for your communion bread and let us raise these together as I read the passage. Raise your bread in the air. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This reminds us the atonement. He broke his body, beaten, hung on the cross, that I will have such freedom, love, joy, peace, healing, deliverance, every good and perfect gift because of his broken body. Would you pause 30 seconds and give God thanks? Father, I thank you this morning for your broken body. Sometimes we just take it for granted. It's like it's so far away, so far removed. We're living in a different time and space. But God, you left this sacred time, this sacred commemoration, that we would never forget the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the atonement of Christ, and that you're coming again. So, Lord, we take this as a symbol of your broken body for all of our sins. And we, oh God, repent of our sinfulness. And we receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. And then the Bible says, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes." Just raise those two. This reminds us of what? This reminds us of what? His blood. What happened to his blood? Shed for who? Is it still for us today? Are we giving thanks because of what he did for us? Then would you pause and thank him this morning? God, in this crazy world we live, humanistic people, wicked people are shedding the blood of others, not caring about other lives, protecting their own, guarding themselves, locking themselves away. God, we think of some of these dictators. Their tables are so long, nobody's at the other end because they're hiding. Those who have barred themselves and have protective guards and everyone, but killing everybody else, shedding blood innocently. But you, Almighty God, shed your blood for us. And because of that, we have eternal life. Heaven will be our home one day. So we, oh God, thank you for your mercy, your miracles, for the healing that flows from your blood, for the deliverance, for the peace, and for the fact that we have a hope because of your shed blood. So we give you praise in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. The Bible tells us he's coming soon. There are some ordinances that we must observe. And these ordinances, one is to remember what Christ has done for us. Two is to continuously walk in what Christ has done for us. And the third, it's for us in obedience to do what God requires of us. In a moment, I'm going to talk about the table of plenty. Because we have a responsibility to demonstrate our thanksgiving, not just in words, but tangibly before the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you in a few minutes how you would respond in some situation. Because the table of plenty is quite significant. But let's read a passage in a moment, because I got to ask you, can you repay God for all that he's done for you? So let's read this text, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 12. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 12. I'm the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you've scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's army. But you ask, how can we return when we've never gone away? Should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me? But you ask, by what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I'll guard them from insect and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's army. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's army. I want us to learn to demonstrate thanksgiving to the next generation. So we're going to go through this practical exercise today, because the problem that we're faced with is that we have so cheated God and explained why it's okay. And yet we've not taught the generations how growth happens. I remember when I had the youth preaching day and Ethan had Matthew 23, verse 23, all the preachers, young preachers were excellent. And you can go back and look for that young preacher's message, Matthew 23, verse 23. And in his, he said, no one ever taught me what tithing was. I gave offering in Sunday school and I grew up and I'd give offering when I want and not when I don't want. But they didn't teach me that it's a blessed principle that will bless my life. And so I want to remind us today of the principle of tithing. And that's part of Thanksgiving. See, remember Thanksgiving, the Horn of Plenty began when farmers came to a land that was filled with snow and rocks. And they began to see how God would flourish their crops and their corn and their grain. And they instituted the Horn of Plenty where at harvest time, right now, the combines are in fields all across Canada. Well, we don't have that many fields anymore. And fields in some other countries. But the combines are bringing in the produce. And what they would do, they would take the first fruits of the produce and they would put it on the table and give thanks to God. It's called the Horn of Plenty. Like, God, there's so much more coming, but let's make sure that we give God thanks because the rain fell at the right time and the sun shone. Can you put rain in the heavens? Can you put sun in the heavens? Can you put it at the right time? But God did it all at the right time. So let's give God the first fruits as they did in the Old Testament, as they did throughout the Bible, and as they've done throughout history. And the churches, pardon me, the nations that have had revival, when a nation goes into revival, something that is unique that they've always noticed, the land begins to produce astronomically because the blessing of the Lord is all intertwined in how we give glory to God and how he makes everything shine together. So over here, this is called the table of plenty, just like that. So the principle of tithing is God says, your crops will grow 100%. And you take out right away 10%. That was when they didn't have finances. Everything was trading. You take out the first fruits, one of everything, and you put it on the table before the Lord, and they would bless it. And then 9 sets of it are yours to live with, to sell, to buy, to give, to trade. Do anything you want with it. And God will just keep blessing you because I'm giving you all of this is yours. So right now, if you want to count it later, you can. There's 9 of everything. If we've got carrots, there's 9 bags. We got thing, it's nine of it. Everything is nine. Got nine cabbage, nine of everything. Because it's a principle of 10. You keep everything over here. Everything over here is yours. And you do what you want. The principle of tithing is when you give God 10% of everything that he's given you. That it begins, that your life, didn't you read it in Malachi? This grows your life and your miracle. But we've become a people now where we are so consumed with all that we need to do that we don't want to give God everything. So if there's sickness in our lives, if there's sickness, we come and help me, because I might need help to hold the bag. Just stand to the side so that I can still work it. If there's sickness, what do we do? Okay, God, I got to pay some bills, so let me just put that into my side, because that over there is mine, because I got to get richer. If the school bill is due, well, God, you know, we want to stay rich and happy, so let me take it from the tithe side, because we don't want to, you know. Erwin, the bag's getting heavy already. You better come. And then let's just say the mortgage. Here, just stand right there with Erwin, and I'll just say the mortgage. It's getting tight, because you know things are getting tight nowadays, right? And we need our monies to grow so that we can see it. But let's just take it from here, because, you know, that we don't want to touch over here, because if not, we may not be as rich as other people at church. Let's just say there's some new clothes needed, because the clothes tatters, right? And so, let's just take it from there. I'm so tired, I need a vacation. Okay, maybe I should, no, take the vacation. No, nobody at church can tell me what to give God. And then, you know, sometimes the tooth may hurt. Pastor can't be telling me to take my money. And everything that happens in our lives, little Susie is going to be in dance class. I need $25. Oh, do you know, I want to give something to somebody else who's poor. But if I give it out of there, we could be poor. So let me just take it from here. Walk with me. This is where we take everything else from. But look over here. You still have the house, the car, the insurance, kids are in school, your table's still full. But we don't reduce over here. We make sure to reduce there. Malachi says that's robbing God. Because this, when it shrinks, you feel it. But it's this that replenishes it. It's your obedience to this table that restocks this table. So I want every person here to understand the principle of tithing. We are being squeezed because we are not giving unto God according to the principle of the Word of God. And you wonder, God turned his back? No. Let me tell you, even when this table comes down to next to nothing, God will send a raven. I don't know if you need it or not, but it's going to be yours. Bring it right here. I hope you can. Did it have grapes in it? The grapes are sweet. Father, we're declaring that your goodness is running after us. Teach us how to be fruitful because we are faithful. Teach us how to live in obedience acknowledging the power of your atonement, being very serious, contemplative about communion with you in worship, in the word, in prayer, and in looking towards your return. And God, I beg of you, help us as Christians worldwide and in this church also to become tithers. The world is running off its currency, but the currency of God has miracles embedded in it. Teach us, Lord, how to follow the principles so that we can see the miracles. I pray in Jesus' name.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.